This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If you killed somebody, the absolute dumbest thing you could do is file a defamation lawsuit. Just think about it for 2 seconds. A defamation suit opens the door to discovery, depositions, subpoenas. Every text message, every GPS coordinate, every single second of your day gets pulled into a courtroom and put under oath. Nobody who has something to hide volunteers for that. Nobody. Bart Edmiston just volunteered for that. Nolan Wells, former high school teammate, the kid the internet decided was a murder based on a garbled audio clip and a homecoming photo. Yeah. And I say good for him. He retained an attorney named Russ Latino, denied every accusation publicly, and announced he's suing the people who fabricated claims that he killed his friend. Good. Good. His attorney says Bart already turned over his boat, his GPS data, and his phone to investigators, full cooperation, handed it all over, and the day before the lawsuit announcement, Bart received a credible death threat. Not a vague online comment, a credible threat reported to the FBI, state law enforcement, and local police, because strangers on the internet who've never met Bart Edmiston, who've never met Nolan Wells, who didn't know that they were very close friends and didn't have animosity towards each other, who couldn't find Ocean Springs on a map, decided they knew exactly what happened on Horn Island. You see, words have meaning. Words have power. Just like at the beginning of this case, where the sheriff comes out and says stupid shit about, well, we think it might be this, before they have any sort of information to base that what we think on. The same level of stupidity comes on the other side of it as well, of we think the friends did it, and we have really nothing to base this on other than their skin colors are different. Okay. Both basing things on things that are not factual to this case, to these people, to this incident. And I've said time and time again, look, I understand and I think it's a good thing that it's being investigated without a damn doubt. Look at every phone. Look at everything he's handed over. Hell, subpoena more shit if you need to. To protect all of Nolan's friends, assuming they had nothing to do with his disappearance and ultimate death. So there's evidence that they can go to and say, see, we didn't do anything. That's there. And if there's something to be found, it will be found. But we don't know the answers to any of those questions yet. So anybody jumping in front of a camera, on a podcast, or whatever the hell they're doing, saying they know what's up because of their feelings, I'm sorry, you're just out of touch with reality and how reality works. Feelings are not facts, and they never will be. And they are not in this case at all. There's damn good reason to investigate this shit, knowing the history of Mississippi, knowing the stupid statements that were made early on by the sheriff, who hasn't said anything quite as stupid since. Yeah. There's good reason to pause and go, let's really just make sure. But there's also reason for everyone who knew this circle of friends to go, this would be insanely out of character for anything like that to have happened. This is not who they were as a friend group, as people who are out having a wonderful time together. This is not who they are. This is not, that would be so out of character. And they're certainly entitled to say that too. And both seem to be opposing because, well, gee, maybe, just maybe, this generation over here isn't repeating the same bullshit of the generations of the past that are standing over here with pitchforks and bullhorns saying, "You're all doing this." Are they? Because that, why are we even here? Why are we at this point right now? Well, I think we know the answer to that. Some people injected themselves into a case for profit, for their own ulterior motives, for their own publicity. Stirred the pot, got a lot of people excited. Look, on all different sides of this. And when you get people excited and you get people going to a specific group in a specific belief system, the blinders come on. And the groupthink begins. And anything outside of that doesn't enter the equation. That's how we got to where we're at right now. And it's a damn shame because it's not fair to Nolan. It's not fair to his family. It's not fair to these friends. Truth is what the goal should be here, no matter what, no matter where this leads. But truth is not accusing people who loved Nolan of horrific things and then letting the flying monkeys of the world attack him in ways and threaten him in ways that are so beyond acceptability. I mean, you think about the Wizard of Oz and the flying monkeys are like, "Ah, go get them." No. Not okay. Never okay. When people are blindly attacking someone for no reason at all. Or what they think their reason is. They think their reason is justified. That's not justice. That's anger amplified on a very shaky deck of cards. It can come crashing down at any moment. Like I've said, if it goes one way, it goes one way. If it goes that way, it goes that way. We'll follow it any way it goes. But you have a young man who's saying, "You know what, assholes? You want to go after me? You want to say this stuff? Anything you want, come get it. I'll show you. You prove to me that I did this. You'll never find the evidence. Because it's not there." That's what he's saying. I'd have to venture to believe him because that's quite a dice to roll if you have something to hide. People who have things to hide don't put themselves in that sort of position. They don't. Civil suits have far more reaching power to get information from people than they do on the criminal side. And if there's something to be found, it'll be found. So, again, words matter. So one of two things is true. Either Bart Edmonston is the dumbest criminal in the history of Mississippi, voluntarily inviting a courtroom to examine every minute of his 4th of July, or he's a 20-year-old kid who lost a friend and is watching his life get torn apart by people who need his guilt to be true more then they need the actual truth. And here's the part nobody making accusations from behind a phone screen wants to talk about. Who Nolan Wells' friends actually were to him. What that friend group actually looked like before the content creators decided what it had to mean. Nolan Wells was a two-time all-regional wide receiver at Ocean Springs High School. 63 catches over his junior and senior seasons, 10 touchdowns. His coaches didn't talk about his stats, though. They talked about who he was. Coach Jake Bramlett said Nolan's character spoke louder than his accomplishments. Said he was loved deeply by his teammates and coaches. His teammate, Shoreid Whitehead, who grew up with Nolan, called him the most respectful person he'd ever known. Said Nolan loved to help and was always happy. Trayston Shepherd, one of Nolan's closest friends, one of the kids who was on Horde Island that day, told ABC News something that should have stopped every keyboard detective in their tracks. He said their friend group was very diverse in race and ethnicity. Said the one thing they all had in common was admiration for Nolan. Then he said six words that matter more than every conspiracy theory combined. Nobody would ever hurt Nolan in our friend group. The photos from the boat on July 4th, before any of this happened, show Nolan towering over his friends, his arms slung around their shoulders, everybody smiling. That's not a photo of a kid who was afraid of the people he was with. He wasn't on the Klan boat to the island. That's not a photo of racial tension. That's a photo of friends going to an island on the 4th of July. If it makes you uncomfortable or you think it's weird that there's a black kid with white people, maybe you should examine your own relationships. If that somehow stands out to you as odd or uncomfortable or weird or different. Because to those kids, it was another, what was it, Saturday night. Just as it always had been. Because they didn't do the diverse shit. They didn't divide up over the colors of their skin. They got over that shit while the previous generation still clearly haven't. There's certainly reason to question because of the history of the area. But when you have your answer, when you look at these kids, you look at these people and you go, oh, okay, well, it doesn't look like 1965 in a bus. It looks like 2026 and a group of kids who grew up not seeing race as something to hate each other for, divide them by. Kids who looked at each other and saw teammates, humans, brothers, sisters, not categories, not sides. Mississippi has a horrific racial history. I'm not going to stand here and pretend otherwise. Emmett Till was murdered in Mississippi. Medgar Evers was murdered in Mississippi. Three civil rights workers were murdered in Neosho County and buried in an earthen dam. The history is real. It is documented. It is undeniable. There's been shit that's going up into this day, and there are parts where that certainly does exist without a damn doubt. But what you see in those photos from that boat, what you hear in the way Nolan's teammates and coaches talk about that friend group, looks like a generation that finally started to rise above it. A generation that actually did the thing every previous generation said it wanted. They saw each other as people. They played football together, went to school together, went to an island together, saw their arms around each other and smiled for a camera. And they did it without making a press release about it because it, to them, it wasn't remarkable. It was just their life. And now look at what's happening to them. Content creators who've never set foot in Ocean Springs are building entire channels around Nolan's death. They're framing outrage off a dead 18-year-old because the algorithm rewards certainty. And certainty in a case where we don't actually know what happened requires fabrication. So they fabricate. A pool party photo went viral as proof that Nolan made it off Horn Island alive. Millions of people shared it. Ben Crump, the one who's supposed to be the civil rights leader standing up for what's right, reposted it. See, proof. No, not proof. Lies, bullshit. Not proof of anything. Actually, just inciting violence, inciting hatred, inciting racism. But I know that's your brand and how you make money. So don't go against the brand, Ben. The internet declared the mystery solved once Jackie Childs joined the team. Except Rolling Stone confirmed through image metadata that the photo was taken on June 27th, a full week before Nolan disappeared. Both Warren Hudson and Tristan Shepherd confirmed it independently. A pool party and past Christian that had absolutely nothing to do with July 4th. By the time the truth caught up, the lie had already been shared millions of times. Because the truth doesn't trend as well. And because once you share something and get behind it and say, see, oh, it's not that. Let's just go quiet now and pretend that never happened. I never said that out loud. TMZ took the CETO distress call. The call one of Nolan's friends made when their boat was taking on water and published what they called an enhanced version. They claimed you could hear someone say, "Is he dead?" on the recording. A digital forensic expert named Robert Freehead analyzed both versions for News Nation. The TMZ recording is 20 seconds longer than the original. It carries a different digital fingerprint. It's not enhancement, that's alteration. But the enhanced version is still circulating. It's also being cited as evidence. People are still using it to accuse specific people, named human beings, of murder. I've listened to the audio too. People, have you listened to it? Have you listened? I have. And you know what? I've been studying and listening to audio for the last 30 years professionally. Literally. 30 years this year. Every day, I'm working with waveforms and looking at it and breaking things down. There is nothing that I can pick up on that recording of any sort of certainty. There's a lot of conjecture. Maybe this says that, maybe that says this. If you also just listen to the tone of the caller, it does not necessarily track with someone that's covering up for a murder, or it's the most casual, befuddled, not connected to what is going on around him caller I've ever heard covering up a murder. He sounds like a dopey teenager. Entitled on a boat that's not his, that's sinking and doesn't know what to do. Look, I welcome any evidence. If there's evidence here that shows something otherwise, let's see it. Let's hear it. For the love of God, there are so many people that had devices that day. There are so many people that were recording things that day. There are so many. If there was something to be found, I think we would have seen it by now or heard it. I could be wrong. But I would be shocked if at this point there's anything that's going to pop out of nowhere, considering the sheer amount of people that it would take to be covering something up now for about a month. And nothing's leaked out, really? Again, I could be wrong. We will follow this anywhere it goes. But I'm telling you from experience and just where we're at with this and what's come out and what's not come out, where this appears to be going. It can turn. Seeing crazier shit happen. And if it does, and if there is something or somebody that did something wrong, then we'll examine the hell out of it. But we're not going to sit here and name people as murderers on a hunch. Or because horrible people did horrible things to people of different colors many generations ago. Or even to this day, there's still that sort of shit that goes on, without a doubt. But this group doesn't appear to be one of them. And we're not going to cast dispersions on them because of the actions of complete strangers in completely different cases that are not remotely connected to this one whatsoever. Making generalized assumptions, making generalized connections that have nothing to do with the other is the opposite of investigation. That's just irresponsibility. AI-generated fake videos of Christine Wansley, Nolan's mother, have been circulating online while she's trying to bury her son, fabricated from nothing, designed for engagement, built on the grief of a woman who lost her child. And every single one of these manufactured clues, the debunked photo, the altered audio, the fake videos, made it harder for the actual investigation to do its job. Every viral accusation positions the witness pool, or poisons the witness pool. Every death threat against a cooperating witness pulls FBI resources away from the case. Every content creator who screams murder for views makes it less likely, not more, that Nolan's family actually gets real answers. That's the trade-off the outrage machine never accounts for. It's not free. Somebody pays for it. And in this case, the people paying are a grieving mother who can't scroll her own feed without seeing deepfakes of her face and a group of kids who lost their friend and are being told by strangers that they killed him. Now Nolan's Snapchat, because this is where discipline matters. When Christine Wansley got Nolan's phone back, both of his Snapchat accounts were empty. No saved photos, no snaps from July 4th. She called it suspicious, and I understand why a mother who can't get answers about her son's death would look at an empty phone and think somebody wiped it. That instinct makes sense. That's a parent looking for truth. But here's what we can actually say at this point. The Snapchat was empty. That's a fact. Here's what we cannot say. Whether anything was deleted, whether anyone accessed his accounts, or whether Nolan was even using his phone that day. Maybe somebody got into that phone and erased everything. That's possible. Or maybe an 18-year-old on a barrier island on the 4th of July put his phone down because he was having a good time with his friends. That's also possible. We don't know. Anyone telling you they know is guessing, or worse, lying, because certainty, again, gets more clicks than honesty. The subpoenas are the right move. Attorney Gary Bufkin filed subpoenas to Snapchat, TikTok, WhatsApp, Meta, and Life360. They want login histories, IP addresses, passport or password resets, GPS data, message records, friend list changes, the entire digital footprint. The platforms have 21 days to respond. And when that data comes back, it tells us something real. If it shows activity and deletion after Nolan stopped using the phone, that's a fact. We will follow it where it leads. If it shows no activity at all, no logins, no deletions, nothing, that's also a fact. And it's not a conspiracy. It's an answer. Maybe not the answer some people want, but facts don't care about narratives. Crump and the DA agreed to a mutual cell phone inspection. Both sides, forensic experts examining the device together in the same room. Good. That's how it's supposed to work. Let the evidence talk, because the loudest voices in this case are the ones with the least information. And the people with the actual data, law enforcement, the DA, the forensic teams, aren't saying a word yet, which drives the internet insane. But that's what a competent investigation looks like. So here's where we are. Both sides are lawyering up. And both sides are asking for the exact same thing. Crump's team sent a 10-page spoilation letter to Nolan's friends and their families, legal preservation notices demanding every text, every photo, every piece of potential evidence be locked down ahead of anticipated litigation. That's Crump doing exactly what you hire Ben Crump to do. Preserve the record, put everybody on notice. Okay, good. Bart Edmonston is suing back if the accusations are fabricated, and his attorney says they are, categorically calling them wholly fabricated, then a defamation suit is exactly the right response. Open the books, get into a courtroom, put it all under oath. Both sides filing mean both sides want the same mechanism. Discovery. Depositions don't care about hashtags. Subpoenas don't care about follower counts. Evidence under oath doesn't perform for an audience. It just sits there and tells you what happened. Every person who's been screaming murder from behind a screen should be rooting for those lawsuits to go forward. Because if there's something to hide, the depositions will show it. And if there's something to hide, the depositions will show that too, if there's nothing to hide. That's the whole point. But here's what should sit with everybody, regardless of where this thing goes. The people making content off Nolan Wells' death, the ones race-baiting a community, farming engagement off a group of kids who by every account loved each other, they aren't just wrong if the evidence doesn't support their claim. They're actively destroying the lives of young people who may represent the best thing to come out of Mississippi in a generation. Kids who actually lived what the state has been trying to become, who looked past everything the older generations couldn't get past and built friendships that were real. Tearing that apart, turning those friendships into a crime scene without evidence doesn't bring Nolan back. Dragging those kids back into the ugliest chapter of their state's history because it makes for better content doesn't help Christine Wansley get answers. It doesn't serve justice. It just makes sure the generation who finally rose above the pain of the past gets punished for it. And the people doing the tearing get to move on to the next case, the next channel, the next outrage cycle, which Ben Crump makes his living on, while those kids carry the accusation for the rest of their lives. Nolan Wells was supposed to report to Southwest Mississippi Community College the week after the 4th of July to start preseason football training. His coach called him a true leader. His friends called him irreplaceable. His teammates said being around Nolan made everyone want to be a better person on and off the field. The last thing Nolan told his mother was, "Hey, Mom, I'm about to go. I love you." Whatever happened on Horde Island, Nolan Wells deserved answers, real ones, earned through subpoenas and depositions and forensic data, not manufactured by strangers who turned his death into content or showed up claiming, "I'm your attorney, I'm here to help." His family is still waiting for those answers. The least the rest of us can do is have the discipline to wait for them. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We will follow this wherever it goes. Be sure to take the podcast with you wherever you are listening. If you're watching us and you want to take the audio version of the show with you, there you go. There's the QR code. Follow that to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, ton of podcast platforms on that QR code. Click it, press subscribe. You got us wherever you go. All right, until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.